Good morning. Is that on? That's on. Ask the ministry out there, do your wives ever give you a little bit of advice before you stand up and preach? I see some people laughing out there. I'll take that as a yes. My wife is no different. She's not a whole lot, but nice little thing. She tells me never to say this is going to be a short sermon. So I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say this is not going to be a long sermon. So if she's listening downstairs, I hope she forgives me of that. And David's right. This has been the strangest 8 or 10 days in preparing for a sermon I've ever had. I know sermons come in different ways for everyone. You know, I've been fortunate enough, blessed enough, to where I woke up in the morning and read scriptures and went to church and said, I need to preach. You know, the Lord gave me that, and fortunate enough, the pastor who was preaching that day said, sure. I've been fortunate enough to have 5 scriptures given to me in order, and I wrote them down, and I didn't even need to study them. I knew I had a sermon. But most of the time, that doesn't happen. Most of the time, we pray, we study, and we let always let God direct. And after we put in the effort, we have a sermon. That's not the case this time. About, 8, 10 days ago, my brother asked me if I'd preach, and I said, sure. I sat down, I had an idea, thought about it for a day, and said, no, that's not it. I sat down, and I thought and prayed and studied, prepared a sermon, worked on it for a day and a half. After a day and a half, I went through that, and I said, no. So, same process. Another one. I went through that same process, and no. And I'm trying to figure out why. And I've come to the conclusion it's because I was just beating around the bush. There's been a thought on my mind and my heart for months and months. And I'm going to deliver it. I told David, I hope I don't get excommunicated after I deliver it. And I'm not joking. I'm serious. I may step on a few toes. I'm going to step on my own toes this morning. But I want to ask you a question. Do you feel you are in a better condition towards God than you were a year ago? Ten years ago. Are you in a better condition with God than right after you were baptized? I tell you what, if you have to think about it, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And I asked myself this question, you know, because I had to think about it. And it shouldn't be. And I was wondering, why? Why? And you know, why is my worship not what it should be? You know, or what it once was? And if it's the same, why is it the same? Why is it the same? Does God want more of me? Does he give me more? He does. You know, in our worship, you know, our devotion to God, our adoration of God, that's what it is, isn't it? When we worship God, do we actually adore our Savior? Do we actually reverence Him? Not His name, I mean reverence Jesus Christ. Is our attitude towards our Savior what it should be, what it needs to be? Do we recognize Jesus Christ for who He is and who we're not? That's my problem, I think. That's one of my problems. You know, I stand up here and I look out at the ministry and I think of myself as the least of these. And I really do feel that way. But I think, I believe, I know the Lord has given me something to preach about, and I want to be able to preach. I got to overcome Steve to do it. I want to turn to Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians. And it's simple. All it is addressing who Jesus Christ is. And do I really think of Him this way? And I'm going to start with the 16th verse. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Is that my attitude towards Jesus Christ? Do I really give, He's saying everything. You know, everything in my life was created by Him. And more importantly, for Him. Is that my attitude towards Him? And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things He might have preeminence over everything. I don't know that my attitude reflects that. You know, as I was thinking about that and judging, yes, I was judging myself, I thought about, I don't know why my thoughts went to my mom. You know, they go to my mom a lot as I get older. I miss my mom a lot. And I thought, my mom was I think most of the family's eyes, she was an absolute saint. She was an absolute saint. And I thought, Mom, you're just great. But then I thought, if I believe that scripture, how come she was a saint? Because God, Jesus, made her that way. He gave her that inner being, that spirit that made her that way. For who? For me, for Mike, for Jim, for her grandkids, for her neighbors that she loved just as much as she loved me. God did this. God, do you think about that? That everything you have that you enjoy in this life is because of Jesus, not because of you, not because of me. We need to recognize who I am and who you are without God. I'm going to turn to a scripture in the Book of Mormon. About 2-3 years ago, Kevin was up here preaching. And he said, Dad, where is this scripture? You remember that, don't you? And I know, no, he doesn't remember that. And it's one, I mean, you know, it's one of those where, oh, you know, I know where that scripture was. Would it come out of my mouth? No. It's in page 92. Maybe he'll remember it now. And we all know that. I know, every one of us knows where that page is, where Nephi's talking. And I'm going to pick it up at the 30th verse, 2 Nephi, 3rd chapter, page 92. And he says, "Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the greatness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh." Is that my attitude? It was Nephi's attitude, wasn't it? He recognized who he was without Christ and without that Spirit. Didn't he? He had that attitude. He had that attitude, both of him, of who Jesus was and who he was without Jesus, without that Spirit. He is, and you are, and I am wretched. I mean, if you think to yourself that I'm a pretty good guy and don't give all the credit to Jesus Christ, you're wrong. I'm wrong. Maybe the reason I looked at my mom and said, what a marvelous lady she is. No, what a blessing I had through her because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. I'm not going to turn to it. Paul says the exact same thing. Two of the mightiest men that in the scriptures that we can read about. What's he say? I'm a wretched person. I know that my mind is warring with the mind of the Lord. Always. Always. He said, I feel it. I feel that struggle. We need to have that particular attitude. How about your attitude towards others? In and out of the church. I want to turn, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I want to turn to, I'm going to turn to Romans, the 14th chapter. I don't know how many times a year I read this. A bunch. And I only read it because I need it. I need it. I should read it every day. I need it every day. It deals with your relationship and your attitude with people in and out of the church, people you come in contact with. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to start with the 11th verse. I'm going to read through the 19th. If I start talking too fast, my wife also says when I get excited and I have a point to make, sometimes I talk way too fast and I don't get the point out. So, I'm not joking. Let me know. Because I know I do it. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. What's he saying? I don't need to judge my brother and sister in the church. They're all going to stand before God. I don't need to judge the person I come in contact with out in the world, and I better come in contact with them, or I'm not doing the Lord's work. They're going to stand before God. It's not my place. Not my place. But this is my place. This is my place. The 13th verse. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Huh. do I do that? You know, I probably do that. There are probably people in this congregation that say, yes, Steve, you've been a stumbling block in my life. I don't want to hear it, but guess what? I need to hear it. I need to know it because I don't want to be a stumbling block. If I am, I need to know it. This is my sermon. And it's a hard thing for me to deliver. It's a very hard thing for me to say because I know I'm guilty of this. I'm going to finish that. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if my brother be grieved with thy meat or anything, later on he says anything. It's just not about meat or drink. It's about anything. If your brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest now charitably, destroy not him with thy meat or anything for whom God died. I'll read on. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and joy and peace, or peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what it's all about. And if I don't prefer my brother, if I don't think about my brother, if I don't care what I'm doing in spite, then how's my attitude towards them? How's my attitude towards me? It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. I want to turn to the seventh chapter of Matthew. Read 1-5. And then farther down. Judge not, that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thine brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Can I remove that beam that is in my eye? No, I can't. Who can? Only Christ. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ can give me the words and the attitude through his Spirit that I might go to my brother because of help, not because of they rubbed me the wrong way. That's the only way that happens. I'm going to skip down to 13. Read through 23. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there that go therein thereat. I didn't read that right. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Remember what Paul was lamenting that war that was his. And if he let his spirit win, he's going to bring forth corrupt fruit. The only real good fruit comes from the Spirit of God. As we read on, it's going to point this out. Same way with you. And our attitude towards God, our attitude towards others. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And the only way you know that, the only way you know that for real is through his Spirit, if you're doing his will. That's the only way. You can read the scriptures just like the rich man that went to Jesus Christ. He knew the scripture. He knew the scriptures well. And he kept those commandments. Which? Were they good? Uh-uh. Because he was following them just to be following them because they were commandments. The good works come from the heart and the spirit that's in there, God's spirit. Those are the good works. Those are the works that will not be burnt up. Right here, as I read on, these sound like pretty good works, don't they, that these guys were doing? Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have I not? I kept the commandments. And in thy name cast out devils. And in thy name done many marvelous works. What did he say? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Those aren't good works. Because I never knew you. You didn't do them under my spirit. The Holy Ghost that I've given you didn't use the gift. You didn't humble yourself enough to say, they're my works. I'm doing these. No, they're God's works. My mother was God's work. I need to be God's work, not my own. I need to have that attitude. The only thing that makes me of any kind of worth is Jesus and his spirit. How's my attitude? And I don't want you to throw books at me when I get into this, but I think I was led to say this. I know I was led to say this. I know this is why I tore up my other sermons. My attitude in our services. Whether they be preaching, but in particular, our worship services, our prayer services. I want to turn to the 6th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to read 1-4. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father that seeth in secret himself will reward thee openly. What's this got to do with our prayer services? It has everything to do with our prayer and testimony services. What's he saying here? What's he saying, whether we testify or we pray? I'm doing it to God. I'm not to be heard of men. Yes, people can hear what I have to say. But I can tell you right now, if Steve McGee stands up here and tells you what I did last week for this person, I'm tooting my own horn. What's this scripture say about that? When I stand up and I pray or I testify, if it's not all about Jesus Christ, if it's not all about him, it's wrong. I'm going to read 5 through 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father. We can do that with this whole crowd when we kneel in prayer. And I can shut my closet door and pray out loud and not have the slightest thought about what someone else is thinking. I can pray secretly in my closet in this group. And I need to do that. I need to do it. I don't need to be praying so this group can hear it. I need to be praying so God hears it, and God alone. And it says, and thy Father, which seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when thou pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they have shall be heard for their much speaking. I tell you what, I grew up in a neighborhood, and I lived one half a block from the Catholic church and the Catholic grade school. And three-fourths of my friends growing up in my adolescence were Catholic. I was raised Baptist. I attended a whole lot of Catholic services, and I heard a whole lot of people pray the rosary. And guess what? I could tell the ones that were vain, and I could tell the ones that prayed the rosary. Patty will tell you the same thing. And when they prayed it, it was not vain. It can be repetitious and not vain. I want you to think about that, because that's what he's saying here. It's vain repetition. People from the outside could come in to our church services and say, why are you guys reading the same prayer over the bread and wine every time you have it? Well, every time I hear it, it's not vain. It's repetitious, but it's not vain. Mindful only of the reverence that we're showing to Jesus Christ and the Father. Where was I? I'll read on. After this manner, therefore, pray unto the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, you know it. I'm not going to recite the Lord's Prayer. 5 verses, he tells us how to pray. 7 verses, he tells us how not to pray. Huh. Isn't that something? So you think he wants us to pray in a certain way? Yeah. Yeah. What's the most important thing? Not be vain. Not be vain. Mean it. Shut out your brother and sister when you are praying and talk to God. I am so guilty of that. Not always, but I do it. How many times? Don't raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. But I dare say that there's many of us that have prayed because we knew we needed to pray. And so we did it because we needed to participate. Wow. Not good. Not good. Where am I going from here? We can put a stumbling block. We can, and we do put a stumbling block in our prayer services. I want to tell you a story. It happened last year at camp, and at first I laughed. And it was a Thursday night service. And the Thursday night service is when nobody participates except the teenagers. And at first he stood up, and I thought, well, it was kind of humorous. But then after a second, I thought, this is not humorous. Young man from, I don't know where he's from. Doesn't matter. Stood up, not from this country, stood up and said, all he had to say is, why are our testimonies so long? And, you know, I smiled. You know, at first I really smiled. And then I didn't smile. Because that young man saw a problem. That problem was a stumbling block for that young man. That's a stumbling block. In this congregation for a lot of people. And we can say, us who are guilty of standing up and testifying long can stand up and say, well, that's their problem. It is their problem, but guess what? They're my problem. And if I know that is a stumbling block for someone, and I don't do anything about it, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my attitude? This is what I was supposed to say. And I've struggled with it, and I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it. But brothers and sisters, it's the truth. I don't know how to go on. Out of the mouth of babes, out of the young. These scriptures, don't take my word for it. Take Jesus' word for it. What's he say here? Isn't he saying exactly this in Romans, in Matthew? Isn't he telling us exactly this? And it's just not me. It's just not this congregation. His disciples had a hard time with this. Yeah, they did. I'm going to try to get a little lighter. Pardon me. But I'm going to turn to Mark. The ninth chapter. Man, I love this. I'm going to start with the 30th verse, but preceding this, it's where his disciples tried to cast out, you know, demon. And they couldn't do it. So Christ came and cast out the demon. And he said, this kind cometh out but much fasting and prayer. Whether that means this kind of spirit or this kind of faith, I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know which one. Maybe it's both. But that's where they were, okay? And the 30th verse, and then they left. It says, they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. So he's leaving, doesn't want a crowd following him. There's a reason he doesn't want a crowd following him, and for he taught his disciples. And said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after they have killed him, he shall rise on the third day. But they understood not the saying. And guess what? They were afraid to ask him. They really didn't want to know. You know, it sounds pretty heavy, doesn't it? And they didn't want to know. And he came to Capernaum. And being in a house, he asked them. So they were in a house, still talking to his disciples. What is it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? He already knew. But they held their peace, for by the way they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Had an attitude problem, didn't they? Had an attitude problem. They were upset. They couldn't pass, remove a demon out of that person. You know, and here they are saying, oh, which is going to be the greatest? Who can give the best sound in prayer or the longest testimony? And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, he knew, if any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all. And he took a child. He was in a room. It was the disciples, but there had to be some other people because he took a child, okay? So, and what did he do with the child? He set him down, put him in the midst of them, and they looked at the child. And then what did he do? Picked it up. He picked up the child, took him in his arms, and then he said unto them, who shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but on him that sent me. And what did John? This is John the Beloved. Okay, the one that Jesus loved. What did he say? He was still hung up, wasn't he? He was still hung up on himself. Not listening to what he has to say. He's remembering. We couldn't cast out devils. We couldn't do this. Who's the greatest? What did he say? And John answered him, saying, where was his mind? Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. He didn't say, he didn't follow you. He said, he followeth not us. Huh. And we forbade him because he followed not us. What spirit was John listening to? What spirit was warring with God's spirit at that time? What was he worried about? What was he thinking about? What did Jesus say? Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can be lightly, that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us, or against us, is on our part. Whoever was casting out these devils, whoever was doing these miracles, was doing it under the Spirit, weren't they? Jesus recognized it. There was some envy there, wasn't there? I need to go on. Now I need to stop. My brother asked me what my sermon was about. I didn't really know, and I said, well, it's attitudes. And I'm bringing up attitudes. But the scriptures, are about attitude. And as I was almost through with this sermon. I'm almost through with this sermon. So those of you downstairs, pay attention. I'm almost through with this sermon. I was thinking about what am I talking about here? I mean, really, what am I talking about? And boink, there it was. And I said, and I knew. It was the fifth chapter of Matthew, the third verse. Attitude. Without that attitude, nothing else matters. And we cannot please God if I am not poor in spirit. Nothing else matters. Because God can't work with me. And I'll be warring with God's Spirit. I don't want that. I don't want to put a stumbling block for you. And you're right. If I have, I don't want to hear it, but I want to hear it. Okay? I don't want to hear it, but because I don't want to do it, I need to hear it. I do this out there. What's the difference, whether it's brothers or sisters or those out in the world? Man, sometimes my attitude with people I have to deal with is horrible. Yeah, have I made it easy for them? No, I put a stumbling block there. I want to turn to the seventh chapter of Matthew and close to closing. And you know this well. You've heard it hundreds of times, 21st through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, that rich poor man, or me, or you, if I'm not poor in spirit, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? We just read about somebody that wasn't as affiliated, okay, with his disciples. And what did he say? He said, hey, they're for me. Why? Because they let the Lord's Spirit direct them. Only difference between them and what he's talking about here. And in thy name, it's not enough to do it in his name. Done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's the difference. I have a couple more scriptures. I'm just going to refer to one. And it's in James, the 26th and the 27th verse, when it talks about pure religion and undefiled before the Father is this. What's he saying? To visit the orphans and the widows and their afflictions, those that can return nothing. And guess what he means when that happens? And don't talk about it. Just do it through his Spirit. If you do it and you do this, great. But what happens If, and your spirit takes over, man, I'm getting carried away, I'm sorry. What happens if your spirit takes over and then you go telling somebody exactly what you did? You got your reward. It's nothing to the Lord. It's nothing. I hope and pray, I really pray that I haven't offended anyone. I didn't want to attend, I didn't want to do that. But I didn't know how to present it any other way than what I presented it. I really didn't, and I knew after a week and a half that I was supposed to. So I hope you will take what I had to say and more than ponder it. I don't want you to just ponder it. I want you to pray about it and think about it. Thank you.